ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम गणानां त्वा गणपतिं हवामहे कविं कवेनाम पमकुं शान्ते शान्ते शान्तिः। दिस मॉर्निंग I restarted my Mundaka Upanishad classes, which I've been doing for more than a year, for their class, for the other group. And there, the word comes, Dhiraha. In Tamil also we have this word, Dhiran. In Sanskritam, the word is Dhiraha. I tell you the secret. Now we are going to do the Sanskrit class also here, okay? Half an hour Sanskrit class. Dhiraha, suppose in Tamil we call Dhiraha. What is the word, in any word ending in suppose Dhiran. In Sanskritam, remove that in, okay? Put Visarga. Visarga na, it has to be pronounced as ha, okay? Dhiraha. Dhiran. Dhiraha. Raman, Krishnan, Krishna. Krishnaha means Sanskritam. Krishnan, Tamil. Okay, Govindan, Govindaha. Ha, solo. Govindaha. Chalunga.
Govindaha.
Subramanyan,
Subramanyaha.
Okay, but we can't say Murugaha. Why? Murugan is not Sanskrit word. Tamil word. Murugan. Murugan, okay? Murugan is Murugan because it's not Tamil word. So, Sanskrit word. So, Subramanyan we have. Okay? Subramanyaha. Raman, Ramaha. Krishnan, Krishnaha. Then we have the word Dhiran, Dhiraha. Okay? Dhiran in Tamil means what? Brave. The courageous. And in Sanskrit also, Dhiraha means the brave and courageous. And we have our own concept of who is a brave person, okay? Concept of the bravery of a person. Okay, who is brave? What is bravery? What is courage? Being courageous. We have our own understanding. And Shastram says, Dhiraha, if you see the meaning of the word, very beautiful word. Dhihi means intellect, buddhi. Or I can say mind in general. Dhiyam means manadai, buddhiyai. Rati means protects. Dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. The one who protects his mind is a brave person. Look at this. Have you ever got an explanation like this? Dhiraha means dhiyam rati iti dhiraha. Manadai kathukondavan dhiran. Who is a brave person? One who has protected his mind. One has got his buddhi, mind protected. He is dhiraha, brave person. That means the brave person, the courageous person is the one who is fearless. Free from fear. So the fearless person, bayam ninga petravan, is the courageous person, brave person, dhiran. And who is the, okay, and here, who is this fearless person, the brave person, one has got his intellect protected. Otherwise, if you have not got your buddhi, mind protected, then you cannot be, fearless person. And here, Shastam also says, the brave person, the fearless is the brave, okay? And brave is the one who has got his mind protected. That means, again, one more thing you have to say. He is the one who has wide vision. Why? How he is free from fear? How he becomes, that is, he is the only person, brave person is the one who is secure. One who does not feel insecure. One who is free from insecurity. The fearless is the one who is free from sense of being insecure. Fearless is the one who is absolutely fearless person is the one who is free from the sense of being insecure. Who is the one who can be free from this, no? The sense of being insecure? One who is the one who is free from insecurity? One who has wide vision. Wide vision. Widest vision. And what do we mean by paranda nokudayavan? Okay, what do we mean by, you know, having wide vision? That means, wide vision means one who sees everything as Ishvara. One who sees the differences. One who sees the plurality, one who sees the multiplicity, one who definitely sees the variety, you know, incomparably varieties of things, things which are incomparably various, and different forms and different names and different shapes and different subtle and gross and, you know, the mobile, immobile, varieties of things, which together constitute the whole cosmos. But one who sees, okay, the whole this variety as manifestation of the only reality. Padaipanathim ore parambolin totramaha parpone paranda nokkudevan. Okay, this is Shastram's definition of who is the one who has wide vision. One who sees everything as the manifestation of the only reality. That means what? One who does not see, okay, a second thing other than the reality. In absolute sense. So one who sees many things, okay, of course when we go and see the ocean full of waves, we do see the plurality of waves. We do try to count the waves also, okay, we play. We see, my God, many waves, we also see the countlessness of the waves. But we also know, we see the countless waves, we see so many waves there, but we also see, if we see the water along with the waves, then what we see? We also understand, okay, a thing which has no count, the countability is not possible. How can you count water plus water? Only water. One who sees the varieties of number of waves, at the same time, you also see absolute sense, okay? In an absolute sense, we do not see a second thing other than water. You are not seeing a second thing, a second reality other than the water. We see many waves, but we see, we do not see the reality, a second reality other than water. A second vastu other than water. This is what is, understand? Void vision like that. One who sees variety, one who does not deny the variety and plurality or multiplicity, at the same time, one who does not see second thing other than only reality. That means what? A jnani. Okay, jnani who does not see a second thing other than the reality, one who sees everything as the Ishvara, only as manifestation of the only reality, and he is a jnani, and he is the one who is free from, he is the one who has widest vision, and he is the one who is fearless, free from the sense of being insecure, and thereby he is the one brave and courageous, and he is the one who has got his mind protected. That means what? Dhiraha means one who has got his mind protected. The fearless mind is the protected mind. Mind which enjoys the protection. Understand? The protected mind. Therefore, otherwise unprotected. Unprotected mind is the fearful mind. Insecure mind. Anxious mind, tensed mind, understand? Miserable mind, the unprotected mind is the painful mind, fearful mind, anxious mind, insecure mind. Therefore, here, how can one get one's mind protected? Now, how to have one's mind protected? That is why to have yourself protected. So, having the mind protected is having oneself protected. That's called rakshanam. Okay? Rakshanam is what? Protection. What is that which will protect you? What is protection? Okay, raksha means raksha, rakshanam means protection. And until and unless you have your mind protected. But really speaking, we don't want protection for the, understand? Protection is really for the mind, not for anything else. Our house can protect our body from heat and cold outside. That's all. This all basic thing which we have infrastructure to keep ourselves protected. Now the body's protection we have. We of course we have to have our body also protected. But what is which can protect the mind? All that we do to protect ourselves from protect our bodies, and without protecting the body also you cannot protect the mind. But protection of body itself is not enough. The mind also needs to be protected. And for that protection, you know, only in having one's mind protected, one can be courageous and brave, one can be free from the sense of being insecure. Understand? Therefore, that sort of fearlessness, for that we say, Govindam Bhaja. That's the only way. What is that which will protect you? Because I had to come back to the class. That's why I was just started somewhere and I went around and came to this. I had to start, no. Why Govindam Bhaja? Because an imperative, you see, the text is given a name, Bhaja Govindam. Bhaja is an imperative verb. Imperative verb. Kattalachal. No? Imperative verb. Bhaja. May you attain. May you know. Adaivayaha. Adaivayaha how? Arivayaha. May you know. And whom should you attain? Govindam. May you attain the Lord. So may you attain the Lord means what? May you know the Lord. May you reach the Lord. May you know the Lord. Irevani arivayaha. And that is why here the word used to mean the Lord also is what? Govindaha. I hope you remember that I explained a lot that time. Go means knowledge and Vindaha means one who is to be attained through knowledge. The name of one of the words which mean Ishvara, Bhagavan, Irevan Sunhala, Govindaha is the word which means the one who has to be attained through knowledge. Arival adayapada vendiya Irevan. Adayapada vendiyavan. Irevanai arivayaha. Understand? That's why that very word Govinda tells there's no way of attaining the Lord other than knowing. Knowing the Lord is attaining the Lord. This is, okay, this is a fact. This is not something. Therefore, may you know the Lord means what? Bhaja Govindam. May you know the Lord. Irevanai arivayaha. Irevanai arivayaha. That means, for what? Why should I know the Lord? That is why he says, talked about the rakshanam. Understand? Protection. We can make all of, without protecting our physical body, without protecting, okay, taking care of our needs, we cannot protect the mind, definitely. Still will be insecure. But protecting the body itself is not enough for protecting the mind. And for the mind to be protected means we are always trying to protect the mind. But the actual protection of the mind is only in jnanam. Understand? Knowledge is the protection. There is no other protection. That is why in Mrityunjay Mantra also we ask for that protection only. The why we ask, chant Mrityunjay Mantra. Om Trimbakai Yajamahe Sugandhim Pushtivardhanam Urvarukamiva Bandhanan Vrityor Mukshi Yamamrataat. We chant mantra actually speaking for both protection, okay? For the absolute protection is knowledge. And relative protection is what? Temporarily you need. Also physical people chant this just for sake of, they say, for physical and speed recovery of the physical illness and all that. It's not only for physical illness. Of course it will help. It will be useful. It will help you to relieve, to be relieved of pain and all that, physical pain and all that. But really speaking, the Mrityunjay mantra is always chanted for absolute protection in the form of knowledge. That's why it's very good. And anybody who's afraid of death, or anybody who is in deathbed, or even one who wants to have real, no, really one who wants jnanam, and to get off any sort of, to drive away the yama from the doorstep, you have to chant Mrityunjay mantra. Mrityunjay mantra is asking for absolute protection, which is knowledge. And the real protection, the absolute protection, now, kapatra padudal. That is why you always ask, hey Bhagavan, enna kapathu. The very simple word we have in Tamil. Enna kapathu, kapathu, we always ask. Don't we, you know, even from childhood, we all been taught, knowing or unknowingly, enna kapathu nu kekkanum solluvanga periyavanga. Always we've been taught to ask Bhagavan to protect us. Protection means, what sort of protection? Everything will be okay, as per Parabdha, everything will be there. But the really you are protected only when you are blessed with the knowledge. Sorry, knowledge is the protection. Nothing else can protect you. Only then you are independent emotionally. When where there is no fear, where there is no anxiety, where there is courage and bravery, where there is wide vision, where there is no vision of second reality, understand? There is only the oneness of vision of oneness of reality, and there real protection. All the Mahatmas show their hands like this. And Subramanya also says, Yamarukka Bayamen. Okay, we always say this, Murugan, now always, they say Subramanya always have this, Yamarukka Bayamen. Means what? Know me, become free from fear. That is the meaning. That is why the sentence. We have ever thought of this. Murugan alone, it is always said this. The sentence connected to Murugan is Yamarukka Bayamen. Why fear when I am here? That means what? That know me. That is the meaning. That's why Bhaja Govindam. Okay? Therefore, we have to accept this fact that we are, in spite of what we have, what we do not have, and in spite of having everything that we want in life, we can't help being or feeling insecure. In spite of our accomplishments, in spite of having everything that what others do not have, what many people do not have, no, still it is natural for one. That is why it is natural for one to be, to feel insecure. Any human mind feels insecure, irrespective of what one has, what one does not have. This is a fact we have to understand. Therefore, and that insecurity will continue to be there, whatever you accomplish or you do not accomplish. And as long as that insecurity is there, the sense of being insecure is there, okay, and definitely, there is no, you don't feel protected, and there is no relaxation. There can't be real relaxation. That is why, and Shastra says, especially as we grow older and older and older, that insecurity, no, becomes, so you, the sense of being insecure becomes more the older you grow. That is why at the time of death, and death is something inevitable, at the time of death also one feels very, very insecure, I tell you. That fear, the insecurity one goes through the time of death is something which is inexplicable. And because one has to go through that to know what this fear is all about. Now when we are young, we do not know. Other person who goes through the pain, when he has, suppose, any pain, when he has the suffering, no, we see, we only go and stand and we pamper and we try to soothe. No, we do something to soothe and all that, but still we do not know what exactly other person is going through. Because when we are young and hale and healthy, we cannot think of what is that sense of being insecure at the time of death. Of course, the whole life we are insecure. tell you, until jnanam takes place, insecurity is something which will be there. In spite of having all social benefits and promises and all that. That is why, and here Shankara begins the very verse saying, know the Lord. That's the only means. To have yourself protected, know the Lord. இறைவனை அறிவாயாக, அறிதல் மூலம் அடைவாயாக, we know the Lord, attain the Lord, that is the only way you can have your mind protected. That is, the having your mind protected is the real absolute protection. Okay, that is when, that is the moksha. There is no other moksha. That's why he says, and he to emphasize the necessity, the choicelessness. That is what is moksha. And how knowing the Lord helps me, you know, feel protected. Now how can I feel, not feeling protected, how can I be really protected? Now how can I have my mind protected by knowing the Lord? Because knowing the Lord implies knowing the limitlessness. Knowing the Lord implies knowing the limitlessness. Knowing the fullness. இறைவனை அறிதல், நிறைவை அறிதல். They are not two different things. Understand, knowing the Lord and knowing fullness are not two different things. Knowing the Lord is what? Knowing what? Understanding fullness, understanding limitlessness. And how does knowing the Lord, he is knowing the fullness means, and knowing the fullness, how does it help me? No? Because in knowing fullness, the smallness centered on you will be resolved. நிறைவை அறிவதில் குறை மறைகிறது. குறைகள் எல்லாம் மறைகின்றன, ஒடுங்குகின்றன. In knowing the fullness, in recognizing the fullness, all smallness centered on I will be resolved. That is the way you will be protected. Understand how you are protected? The smallness centered on I will be resolved. குறைகள் மறையும். Always we make the wrong thing. Every time, when all my குறைகள் will go, then one day I'll நிறைவுடையவனாக ஆவேன். One day I'll recognize. I'll be free from limitations. No. Understand? That's why Shastra makes it very clear. All the problems you have, all this mahana, the sufferings and sorrows you have, and all the limitations you think you have, all of them will resolve. The smallness centered on I will resolve by itself. In me, we don't need to do anything. They'll all disappear themselves. How? In recognizing fullness. Understand, it's a very, very important lesson. Because all the ulta we are doing, குறைகளை நீக்கி நீக்கி நீக்கி, இந்த குறை நீங்கிச்சுனா அந்த குறை நீங்கிச்சு, குறை நீங்கிச்சு இந்த குறை போய். Understand, always we say this. This problem goes and something else, okay, I'll be okay. I'll be okay if this one problem is solved, I'll be okay. ஒரே ஒரு குறை, அது போயிச்சுனா I'll be fine. In fact, the குறைகள் will never come to an end. Understand? So you have to, the குறைகள் will never come to an end. Problems will never come to an end. The Shastra says, how you are relieved, no? That things, all your problems and inadequacy and this smallness centered on I will resolve, will disappear by itself without being chased away, driven away. But all that you need to do is you need to recognize fullness. And that recognition of fullness is not possible without understanding the concept of Lord being the whole. Understand? So knowing the Lord is knowing fullness. Knowing fullness is, in fact, resolving the smallness and donai and all inadequacies resolve. Having the inadequacy resolved, that is what is protection. That is why, when that is choiceless means, and that Shankara has to say three times, whenever one sentence is, same sentence, the same meaning is repeated, That is for emphasis. Saapdu doesn't eat the child. Saapdu. No. Saapdu. Okay? Then we eat it, no. Always, repetitions are for emphasis, or to stress. Similarly here also, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudhamate Samprapte Sannihite Kale Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrin Karane. Understand? I know the word Dhiraha. Who is the fearless, courageous person? That is why the person who is given to the spirituality, the person who is really spiritual, who knows his ultimate end, no, he was Purushartha Nischayaha, and who is committed to the pursuit of knowledge, or who has become a jnani, is the really spiritual person, the strong person. Anyway, so where were we? So we are doing this many Bhaja Govindam, we did some verses, we have already done. I just want to start, restart. No, I had to come back to the class to start back and come. 14. Today, I brought some other book in here, brought Bhaja Govindam. So I got all the books out, Shankara's picture, and the top, so I missed it. I came in the morning for some other class. Now, if you tell me the verse is enough, I can just...
14.
Dinayaminyau sayam pratah shishiravasantau punarayatah kalah gacchati... No, kalah kridati gacchatyayuh tadapinamunchati... Asha Vayuhu. Did we do that last? Is the last one? Am I right?
Yeah.
I don't know which are they. Don't you know?
Which one is you?
Dinayami.
12. This is 12.
Yeah.
We are done there. We are done there.
Kate Kampaka Stepatra.
Yeah.
Kate
Kampaka.
Okay. Yeah.
When you read the translation, be very careful, okay? Because sometimes, as soon as I open the book, I see this. The verse points to the urgency of exhausting your desires. Look at the very sentence you can make out now. Very first sentence, I don't need, you know. The verse points to the urgency of exhausting your desire means, how can you exhaust your desire? What do you mean by exhausting the desire? Anyway. Okay. Now, I can see that anything we just can flashes the vagueness. Wherever people say something. Kate kanta dhanagata chinta Kate kanta dhanagata chinta vatulakim tava nasti niyanta
vatulakim tava
nasti niyanta trijagati sajjana sangati reka
trijagati sajjana sangati reka
Bhavati bhavarnava tarane nauka.
Bhavati bhavarnava tarane nauka.
I think I did this also.
Yeah.
Jatilo mundi. It's okay, no problem, you can read it. Angam galitam palitam mundam
Angam galitam ఫలితం ముండం దశన విహీనం జాతం తుండం
దశన విహీనం జాతం తుండం
వృద్ధో యాతి గృహీత్వా దండం
వృద్ధో యాతి గృహీత్వా దండం
తదపి న ముంచత్యాశా పిండం
తదపి న ముంచత్యాశా పిండం
దిస్ ఇస్ ఫినిష్డ్
అగ్రే వన్నిహి పృష్టే భానుః రాత్రౌ చుబుక సమర్పిత జానుః
రాత్రౌ చుబుక సమర్పిత జానుః
కరతల భిక్షః
కరతల భిక్షః
తరుతల వాసః తదపి న ముంచత్యాశపాశః
తదపి
న ముంచత్యాశపాశః
సో ఆల్ దీస్ వర్సెస్ ఓన్లీ టెల్ యూ this verse generally after 10th okay all this verse generally they say it is not that easy to get rid of desires why when we say it we have to understand one thing we need not we have to understand one fact what is it fact we ourselves cannot push aside desires we ourselves cannot give up desires nor can we undo our desires nor can we destroy our desires but still we have to deal okay manage our desires no other go we can't do anything about the desires so desires do arise naturally arise what is a desire no desire is not created it happens what is a desire it's a thought form Why do you call it a thought form? Because a formless. Now it's not a grass thing. Desire is something which is manifest, which we understand. We know what desire is all about. And any desire for anything is a thought form, which arises as part of, okay, as a, you know, the function of mentation. It's a minding. When you say minding, now the mind is what? It's a function. It's a function. It's a subtlest function. Understand? Subtle function which is constantly happening. And here many thoughts keep on arising and then many thoughts come and go. And desire also is what? A thought form. Desire for anything is a thought. And desire is caused by what? It's a caused by the pressure. And what is the pressure? It's a constant, you know, inevitable and irremovable pressure of wanting to be okay wanting to be free from limitations that's why I said in the very beginning I told you there's a natural emotional urge do you remember that the natural emotional urge what is that I want to live long happily this is a natural emotional urge this is the fundamental desire and this desire is itself is causes the pressure because of which any desire arises this is why the fundamental desire which gives rise to other desires is one and the same in all the human minds the fundamental that's why we call it common human fundamental desire which is very common in all of us in any human mind for that matter whoever it is but other desires are different you have different desires I have different desires you have different desires but all our different desires are in fact caused by one common human fundamental desire and that desire itself is what is an expression of okay some pressure caused by what in fact the basic thing you have to remember this all the smallness centered on I alone gives rise to the very fundamental desire. This Shastra analyzes very beautifully. Yeah, why there is such a thing called desire? Why does it happen? Asa endra ondru yen thondrugirathu? Where does it arise? Okay, we can say mind. Again, do you know the location of the mind? But still there is a desire. Not that easy to undo it. We cannot undo it. A small, you know, when you undo the whole tree, I tell you, the small and a root somewhere in the car is enough again to sprout. Similarly, the desire is something, okay, which is caused by, which is really an expression of the pressure caused by the fundamental, common human fundamental desire, which is there in every mind, which is the cause of, in fact, the mind, very existence of the mind. I tell you, very mind is there because of this fundamental desire. Otherwise, mind will resolve. Maname kaanamal poidu. The very mind, it exists because of fundamental desire. And this, why this fundamental desire? What is that which is the cause for this fundamental desire? Because it's smallness centered on I. Just the thought. There is a notion. The thought is, what is the thought? No, I am small. Smallness centered on I. Kuraihal irikkindana vera. Non-kuraihalai udayavan is the problem. Okay, I am small. Smallness centered on I is the problem. And this notion, now that you want to have it, look at this. This is what I want to understand, the helplessness. Why we need to surrender to Shastram. Because it's a problem, it's a basic, the smallness centered on I is not, nobody is responsible for this. It's naturally there, smallness centered on I. And every human is a common problem. And why there is smallness centered on I? Why there is a notion that I am small, non-kuraihale udayavan, and in terms of so many things, we have our own way of looking at, no? Us as all complexes, inferiority complex and smallness centered on I, mainly smallness centered on I have to say this. I repeat this sentence. And that is due to my definitely again helplessness because of all the limitations being superimposed upon the I. Superimposed upon the I. Why? Limitations of what? Limitations of the physical body, limitations of the mind, limitations of the senses, limitations of the pranas, limitations of, you know, the intellect. So limitations of the subtlest manifestation, mind, limitations of the sense powers, limitations of the powers of organs of actions, limitations of the physiological functions, and limitations of the gross body. Everything, you know, all the limitations are superimposed upon I. Why? So very well, because of the erroneous perception. Because there is an error in perception. Because here, all these objects are mistaken for the subject. Therefore, this is all, and this is again, why these objects are mistaken for the subject, why these objects of knowledge are mistaken for the subject, because there's a closeness, there's inseparability between the subject and the object. Look at this. Inseparability, the proximity, understand the closeness. There's no distance between, understand, the wave and the water. Similarly, there's no distance between the, understand here, there's no distance. And second thing, above all, one more thing we have to say, there is also that distinguished, okay, that knowledge of the self is not there. There is self-ignorance, which again is natural. The self-ignorance is natural. So we can say, we can call it self-ignorance, or we can say knowledge, ignorance of the reality in general. We do not know there is reality. There is something called reality. And we do not know what that reality is. We do not know that there is reality, and we do not know what that reality is, and we do not know that we need to know that reality. That is how only knowing the reality we can understand, oh, all that is there is the only manifestation of the reality, but we cannot say that, we cannot see that, we cannot have that vision, wide vision. Vision is very narrow, not wide vision. And that because, and that reality is again, that reality has to be known, means that reality is available for recognition only in your mind, not elsewhere. You cannot know anywhere else, reality as reality. That's why we say, and that then we do not know where to place the I also. What is that which is I? What is that which is I? No, we place the I on the body, sometimes we place the I on mind, sometimes we place the I on senses sometimes. So the I has to be shifted from everything which is object of knowledge. Therefore, definitely the knower and the known cannot be the same. Understand? Of course, the known is the knower, but knower is not the known. Knower is different from the known. That distinct, we do not know that. Naturally, ignorance is natural. Therefore, ignorance is the root cause of the problem. Until and unless ignorance is dispelled, nothing can be done to resolve the desire, the problem of desire being there. That is why having desires or being desirous is not a problem. It is a very natural thing. We have to understand this correctly. We not really, if we try to undo, it is like swimming against the current. We are not correct. We are not right, doing the right thing. So desires are very natural. That is why the desires are very, very natural. Again, very subtle. And so much, it's not one day, the mind is something which is very deep, in the sense what you cannot know. It is how dormant in subconscious, in unconscious and subconscious, how desires are dormant, how many desires are unfulfilled in the previous janmas, understand? Because as long as ignorance is there, so many desires will be arising. And so many would have been fulfilled, which would have given rise to another disease, unfulfilled disease, or some which would have remained without getting fulfilled. Therefore, all of them must be there, in subconscious also. So always disease, pop up like, that's why disease will be coming and going. That's why it's very difficult to get rid of, the asha pashaha. You see, asha is said to be a binding rope, tying thread, okay? What is that, we say this, what is that which always hooks on to you? For this mind, I tell you, moksha, desire is not there, actually mind is not there. Moksha, what is it really which binds you? That's why asha is always likened to pashaha. Pashaha means kairu. Even asha pashamna tapanachur, not exaggerated. Asha means desire. Pashaha means kairu. Understand? He said pasha kairu, we say. Pasha kairu is exaggeration, like pinnusi. Understand? He said nadu center pinnusi. Like that, a pasha kairu is, we don't need to say. Pashaha means kairu. Understand? And here asha is the kairu. Asha is the pashaha, all of which ties you with the bond, samsara. That is why, okay, you get it off here, one knot, again and something comes and ties you up again. Okay, it's called, that is why asha is that which binds you with bond, okay, which binds you. The tying thread, understand? The tying rope is what? Asha. Asha is pashaha. Asha yedan unne kattra kair. That is why it is easy. If we try to undo the disease, not possible. We can't destroy the disease. How can we destroy the disease? Who are we? Are we creating the disease? No. Very difficult to get rid of the disease. Disease will not go. How much ever you suffer, I don't want this. That sort of how much our suffering when one goes through also, even then we think one should get it off now, the disease should go naturally. People always expect when you suffer a lot, go through a lot of pains and problems in life, naturally that experience of going through pains and disease problems in life will help one to grow out of disease. Okay, to get rid of disease or to undo disease, that's not possible. One can grow out of desires, but it's very difficult to get rid of desires. Growing out of desire is possible, out of maturity, but completely getting rid of disease is not that easy. You can grow out of disease for so many things which you enjoyed as a young, as when you were very young. But can you say you're completely free from disease now? Or got rid of disease? No. You have grown out of many diseases now. What you were desirous of when you were very young, now you have grown out of those diseases. You have grown out of many diseases, but still you have many other new diseases. You can't say you're totally free from disease. That is why asha pashaha na munchati. Understand? The thread of desire doesn't leave you that fast, that soon. Understand? You can't easily get it off the bondage of desire. Very difficult. That's why it says tadapina munchati asha pashaha na munchati unne vidivadile aasayennum kayiru unne katti potirikkirathu. Doesn't that easily release you, doesn't free you so that soon. How? Suppose when you get very, very old, it talks about this book really tells lots of facts, okay? It's suitable for people in India, mainly Indian lifestyle. That is why agre vannihi. Suppose in winter comes, in this country you are well equipped, all the houses are well equipped with the heating and radiators and all that. Suppose imagine some people living in Himalayas or Gangotri, Yamunotri, near all those, no? Always they had to have some firewood. And then they'll make fire and they'll sit around like this. They can't have all the comforts. And freezing cold in winter and all that. Then agre vannihi. Okay, they had to have that. They had to have fire. And then, suppose sometimes we can also say difficulties in life. Suppose if you walk in front, you see fire in front of you. Agre vannihi. Prithe bhanuru. If you turn and see, my God, the scorching heat. Scorching sun at the back. Okay, scorching sun at the back, very hot. In front of you, there is a fire. Agre vannihi prishte bhanuhu. So much of difficulty is there, so much of suffering is there. Then, ratrav prishte bhanuhu, ratrav chubuka samarpita januhu. No, januhu means, this word is janu. Janu means knees. Okay? And prishta samarpita janhu, we can also say here. Now always night times, people sit like this, and they'll sit. It's called prishta, can you understand? Sitting like this, having support of his knees, and giving, this palm to your chi, it's called what? We say here, this samarpita janhu. Chibuka means this part is called chibuka in Sanskritam, it's chin. Chibuka samarpita januhu. From here, you sit like this. Adha, kannathu kai kuduthu ukkaranu solvaanga illaya? Kannathukku kai kuduthu ukkaranu, Tamil we say. And chibuka samarpita januhu. The janu, like this also, if you can sit some, because we are not big buried, we can't sit like that. Suppose we are very thin and thing, you can sit like this. Chibuka samarpita januhu. You sit, yourself, folding yourself, and then the chin is on the top of your chibuka knees, like this. Because chibuka samarpita januhu. Understand? Like that. Chibuka samarpita januhu. Agre vannihi prushte bhanuhu. Ratro, the whole day you are running around, and come back at night time. No, you're so worried. No, having struggled, slogged the whole day. Ratro chibuka samarpita januhu. Sitting like that, worried. Then he says here, karatala bhikshaha. Karatala bhikshaha means what? No, just one who just eats his food. Going for alms. Karatala bhikshaha. How do you get your food also? Don't have any vessel, okay? Karatala bhikshaha. Just go on the road, walk on the road, and go and get your arms also using your, now just you get your food in on your palm, not in a vessel, container. Karatala Bhikshaha, the one who just accepts, one who has his Bhiksha in his hand. Karatala Bhikshaha. And where do you live? There's no place to live. Tarutala Vasaha. Tarutala means what? Talam of Taru means a tree. Tarutala Vasaha, and then that residing under the tree. Here, the foot of the tree. Tarutala Vasaha, Karatala Bhikshaha, Tarutala Vasaha, Agre Vanni, Prishte Bhanuhu, Ratro Chibuka Samarpita Januhu. Night time you sit, folding yourself closely, Tachistapatadapi. Even then, even one goes suffers so much in life, it doesn't really give him a small picture of some hard life in old age and all that. Even then, Asha Pashaha na Munchati. Even then, the disease, do not give up. It means what? Not he can't give up, okay? He cannot give up. Even then, disease do not go away from him. Still, disease all holding on to him. Even if one has so much of suffering, what is the lesson of this mantra, shloka? Even how much one suffers in life, still, suffering, in fact, should teach a lesson. Disease, disease should go away from one, but still disease do not go away from one. Disease are holding on to the person. I'm using very carefully the language. Disease are holding on to the person. Disease do not go away. Understand? So now that he wants to get rid of, okay, but he says, do not go away. That means what? Not that easy. Why? Because the desire will not go by itself. This is what we have to understand. As long as there is ignorance, desires will not go. That is why what should you do? As long as what is again implied here? Diseases do not go on their own. Diseases are holding on to the person. And as long as there are diseases, look at this. What is implied here? As long as there are diseases, so no suffering in the world can make you, help you get rid of disease. How much you suffer, how much you enjoy, disease will be holding on to you. And as long as you have disease, you will be impelled to do actions. And as long as you are doing actions, you will, see, it's all continuous, okay? Helplessness, you have to understand your helplessness, how the bondage is. Diseases are there naturally always. Nothing can help you get rid of the desires. And desires will impel you to do action. You will be helplessly chased to do the action. Some action or the other. Look at this. We have to understand our choicelessness about doing an action. I told you in the class when I taught you initially about karma yoga, we have choice. Over action means what? You can choose to do some action or you can avoid some action. But choice about doing an action, there's no choice. You have to be doing some action or the other. Why? Because they're always impelled by desires. Why there are desires? Because desires are always holding on to you. Understand? And once you do some action, definitely, and the action produces what? Palam. Once the palam is there, palam has to be exhausted. And every karma produces drishtam palam and adrishtam palam. The drishtam palam means what? The fruit of action for which the cause is known to you. The fruit of action or a situation for which the cause is, for which you are going through, for which the cause is unknown to you is called adrishtam. I tell you always, whatever you go through in life is fruit of an action. Understand? But whether you know the cause is definitely there. Whatever we go through in life, for which there is definitely the cause. And the cause is sometimes known to you, then if the cause of the situation is known to you, it is called drishtam phalam. The cause of the situation is unknown to you, it is adrishtam. This, okay, whether it is lottery winning or some sudden accident, whatever it is, everything is what? our situation. Everything has a cause. That is why, and the cause is what? We say, phalam. Every karma produces drishtam and adrishtam. And the ones we have punya papas in your account, definitely. Even punyam also has to be exhausted. Papam also has to be exhausted, for which you need to be born again. Understand? That is why bandha na nivartate. Understand? Bondage never goes. People think, if I suffer a lot in life, somewhere buddhi varmans are it. Varano. But even then, no? Asha, it's not that easy to get rid of diseases. Because disease will never go. Why? The cause is elsewhere. How many ever medicines you eat to suppress the symptoms, unless the root cause of the disease is eliminated, symptoms can be suppressed for some time, again it will be showing off. Like that, it will never go. Therefore, what is the solution? Govindam bhaja. Know the truth. Know the reality. Know the self. Why we say know the self? Know the reality as the truth of the mind. Understand? Knowing the reality of the jagat as the reality of the mind is said to be what? Knowing the self. And that knowing the self, everything will resolve by itself. You don't need to get rid of anything. Therefore, bhaja govindam. It will mean that these things are very beautifully presented here. You know? Bhaja govindam. Some people will teach this the other ways. Even then disease do not go. So we should give up disease. Get rid of disease. That's how some people will say that. But here you have to connect to the first verse. Why you should know the truth. The bondage is always continuous. Because as long as phalam is there, the birth is inevitable. Punaha janma is inevitable. How long the phalam will be there as long as there is karma? How long will there be karma? You know, as long as there are diseases, how long will there be diseases? My God, disease will be there. Understand? You know all the research. I don't need to tell you. How long will the disease be there? Another asai vidutra tappu. Okay? Ariyamai irukkum varai asai irukkum. Okay? As long as there is inadequacy, as long as the smallness is centered on I, there will be fundamental desire and there will be desires. There will be superimposition of, you know, the attributes of the non-self upon the self will be inevitable. Nirvana self-perception is inevitable as long as ignorance is, self-ignorance is there. That is why bhaja govindam. That's why he says, no, you have to connect every verse with the previous verse. Why you should know? See how beautiful it is said here. Then, again, knowledge is emphasized. Other than knowing, nothing will help you to get rid of disease. Nothing will, you know, really free you from bondage. Asha is a pasha which will tie you again and again and again with the life of transmigration, samsara. Understand? He says no. Kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam. Kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam. Kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam.
Kurute Ganga
Sagara Gamanam. Vrata paripalana matava danam. Vrata paripalana matava danam. Jnana vihinaha.
Jnana vihinaha.
Sarvamatena.
Sarvamatena.
Muktim na bhajate janmashatena.
Muktim na bhajate janmashatena.
He says, how much ever karma you do, can karma liberate you? Can karma help you attain freedom from limitations? செயல் புரிதலால் நான் மோட்சத்தை அடைய முடியுமா? நோ, த க்வெஸ்சன் கேன் கம் ஃபார் விச் சங்கரா ஆன்சர்ஸ் ஹியர், நோ நோ, வாட் எவர் கர்மா யூ டூ, தட் கர்மா கேன் ஓன்லி ப்ரொடியூஸ் பலம். தட் பலம் வில் பி வாட் டைம் பவுண்ட். கர்மா இஸ் டைம் பவுண்ட், கர்ம பலம் ஆல்சோ வில் பி டைம் பவுண்ட், பட் வாட் யூ ஆர் ஆஸ்பைரிங் ஃபார், வாட் யூ ஆர் சர்ச்சிங் ஃபார், வாட் யூ ஆர் சீக்கிங் இஸ் எவர் லாஸ்டிங், டைம்லெஸ் ஹாப்பினஸ் விச் இஸ் மோக்ஷ, தட் இஸ் நாட் பாசிபிள். Understand? Not only that, no, no, I go to Ganga. People think, no, we go to that. All this, no, the culture, the other activities. The Punya Karmas, he talks about the Punya Karma. Punya Karma also will produce what? Punyam Phalam. That will not free you from limitations and free you from bondage. Kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam. Now, some people have this funny idea, okay, if we go to Kashi, go to Ganga and have 3 dips there, and once you have attained moksha, no. Kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam. Go all the way to Rishikesha, Himalayas or Kashi and then have a dip in Ganga. But that's why we say is that, you know, is not a, we have to understand the significance of having 3 dips in, I think I told it in the class, no? I told you once. We should know the significance of having 3 dips in Ganga. We should know why Ganga is a holy, considered to be a holy river. If you do not know the meaning, Ganga water is nothing, nowhere different from the water here in Thames. Okay, because our attitude is different, the way we look at it is different, because our concept is different, significance is actually different. Ganga is very, very holy for us because it is looked upon us as a symbol which stands for something else. We have to know the significance and do the right thing. If we simply go to Ganga, go to Kashi, go to all the temple one after the other, and run after temple, go for pilgrimage and have dip in Ganga, in no difference whether you have dip in Thames or dip in Ganga, it's the same thing. In winter it may get cold, or in summer it may not get some of the infection also if it's possible. Okay, I will not say no. But kurute Ganga Sagara Gamanam kurute. Sagara Gamanam. Go to this ocean, have samudra, no? Have samudra snanam, have bathe in Ganga, bathe in ocean. We have all these things, whatever you do, it's only a karma. It is not jnanam. That will not remove your ignorance. That will not free your smallness into the eye. That will not free you from the precious, you know, the mind, the desires and all that. Therefore, Pratha Paripalanam. Then we follow all sorts of, you know, all these religious practices he is talking about. See, I do not say the religious practices are unimportant. I do not say religious practices are unwanted or unnecessary. Please, I tell you, they are all important. They are all necessary. They are all useful. They are not useless. But know their limitations. Understand? Know the limitations of Vrata Pari, all religious practices. Without religious practices, mind cannot grow. Understand? The mind cannot become mature. Mind cannot grow, that emotional growth, maturity is not possible without following all these things. All these things are necessary. Religious practices are important for antakarna shuddhi, for antakarna naishalyam. We need religious practices. But religious practices themselves cannot take you any distance, cannot take you anywhere. Vrata paripalam, following all sorts of vratams. Vrata paripalanam, vratangale kathal means what? Vrata paripalanam means vratangale kathal. Okay, meant following all vratam, different types of vratams and fastings and disciplines. Vrata paripalanam means, you know, being given to the practice of many religious disciplines, such as fasting, etc. Understand? So, vrata paripalanam, athava dhanam, even the charity. Okay, dana means what? Giving. Dana means act of giving. Giving or sharing. So charity, being charitable also is what? Highly right is good. You can do any amount of dana, no problem. It's very good. We have to give. If we do not, if we live always without giving anything, that means we are not contributors. We are only consumers. That is a papam, really speaking. Understand? We should share. what we enjoy, Bhagavan has blessed us with. We should share at least a little bit of what we can. You enjoy everything what you want. You also share a little bit what we are blessed with, no, the other people. So being charitable is very much needed and very important. One has to be charitable, but still, please understand the limitation of being righteous, being charitable, even in aram, okay, is very important. Even limitation of dharma. You have to know the limitation of all values also, following values. Without living a life in the dhanam, you can say, you can take this one word for living a life of values also. Dhanam means being charitable. Being charitable implies being compassionate and being kind and being, you know, all these things that which implies also following the value of ahimsa. Non-hurting, non-injury, you know, really stretching out, reaching out to the poor, etc. All these things are expression of your, the, you know, the following value of ahimsa also. We can say that then means, so being, being given to, being committed to live a life of values is very, very important. Without that, no way of becoming mentally pure and steady, becoming ready for knowledge. One cannot be blessed with the knowledge. One will not be blessed with knowledge unless one has the antakarna shuddhi and naischalyam, for which one has to live a life of dharma. No other go. It is very important to live a life of dharma. It is very important to be charitable, etc. To be righteous. Okay? To be given to life of dharma. And it is very important to also to practice religious disciplines. And all that. But all are only karma. They themselves are not enough. If you think they have prepared your mind for knowledge, it is fine. But without attaining knowledge, okay, without gaining knowledge, and simply these karmas itself will do if you think, then you are wrong. That is why Ganga gamanam kurute, Sagara gamanam kurute, you know, one goes to Ganga, one goes to, you know, one goes for the bath in the ocean, and all that, and one is given to the practice, the practice of religious disciplines and all that, pratam, etc., fasting, etc., and also all those things are there, dhanam also, then sarva matena jnana vihinaha. All these types of karma will help you accumulate punyam. Dhanam will help you accumulate punyam. Vrata paripalanam will help you accumulate punyam. Understand? And then if you go to Ganga, go to Samudram and all that, all punya karma. Therefore, you will accumulate punyam, no doubt. But minus jnanam. These karma palam will how far will they take you? Jnana vihinaha. Jnana vihinaha means one without knowledge. No, one without knowledge. This person, whatever he does, but jnana vihinaha, the one who is devoid of minus knowledge, jnanam atravan, jnanam erpadadavan, jnana vihinaha, one who without knowledge, sarva matena by all means, by any other means, muktim na bhajati, he does not attain moksha. Because he does not attain moksha. Muktim na bhajati. See, bhajati attains. Na bhajati does not attain. What he does not attain? Muktim na bhajati. He does not attain. Moksha means what? He does not become free from bondage. No karma will ever free, or no karma phalam will ever free one from bondage other than knowledge. You might have done lots of punya karmas, accumulated a lot of punyam, but still that punya karma phalam, no, will not free you from bondage if you do not have knowledge. Okay? Jnana vihinaha sarvamatena by all means. Muktim na bhajati, does not become free. How many ever janmas he takes? Okay, every janma, one consciously does only punya karma. One does not do any papa karma at all. Even then, it's very difficult, okay, to live one life completely without doing any smallest of papa karma. Unknowingly also, we may do some papa karma. Understand? Not consciously, knowingly. That is why it's impossible to live a total life, completely, thoroughly a sin-free life is very difficult. Understand? We may do some karmas unintentionally, unknowingly we may do some wrong actions. And if how many of our punya karma we do also, even if one does only punya karmas, accumulates lot of punyam, as a result of that, one cannot attain moksha. How many ever janmas you take? If you think, no, let me live hundreds of lives, at least at the 100th life, okay, but I do only punya karma, accumulate punyam, attain moksha, no. Janma shatena. Okay? Even if you live hundreds of lives, and in every life you do all this punya karma, accumulate lot of punyam, then jnana vihinaha. If you are without knowledge, okay, if you do not have knowledge, if you do not know the reality, do not know what the Lord is, then you do not attain freedom. Then moksha is not possible without knowledge. Therefore, better know the truth. Bhaja Govindam. That's right. Govindam bhaja means what? Know the truth. I change now, okay? Know the reality. Paramburulai arivayaha. That's the correct meaning for bhaja Govindam, okay? Bhaja Govindam means what? Irevane arivayaha, that's a different thing. But actual meaning is paramburulai arivayaha. Bhaja Govindvai Jnana Vihinaha Jnana Matravan Muktim Na Bhajati Mukti Orupodhu Madaivadillai. Understand? He does not attain moksha. So I didn't want to tell you the significance of Ganga in this context. I didn't want to confuse you. That's what I'm not talking about. Okay? But I've told you already. Haven't I? Remember?
We had it there, but I don't know whether...
You do remember that?
We talked about it there.
Okay. Anyway, why we say, hey, let me tell you in this context. It's not nothing to do with Bhaja Govindam, okay? But I want to, because I don't want to go home with the thought Swamini said, Ganga Sagar Gamanam is useless. Because I don't want to do that Papa Karma, okay? Because I have to tell you everything when I teach you correct things now. Always is what happens. See, people have to talk about everything, the relevance of everything. The context, what we are talking. What is said in which context. In the context of the importance of knowledge, the limitation of karma and karma palam has to be emphatically expressed. Otherwise, we will not know. Because we don't think properly. That is why, and here he says, no, he has to say, oh no, I follow this vratam. People come and tell me, no, some people in Chennai, no, they used to come to, some mummies used to come and tell me, no, I followed this vratam, I followed that vratam, I did this tapas, no, we did this dhanam, andha puja pandra, hindha puja pandra, no, we did so many things, still we were suffering like this, we have to go through, people come and tell. No, Varalakshmi Vrata Vudradilla, Andha Vrata Vudradilla, no, this Puja Vudradilla, and then Shashti Vrata, 6 days after Deepali, Sura Samhara, Marik, Pachatani Vaila Vudradilla. Every Ekadashi, 24 Ekadashis I fast. You know, people come and tell all this because people are so crazy. They very strictly follow, a lot of people follow a lot of Vratams. And then they come and complain. We do all this in what is the use? See, what is the situation? What has happened to us? Where Bhagavan did not protect us? All wrong understanding. Okay? And people tell this. So, and this is the context people have to tell. At the same time, and people go, you know one thing, knowledge alone will protect you, you have to only meditate, don't do all these things. That's also not right. It's very important to follow. Don't say foolishly you should follow vratams, starving, etc. Starving is different from, okay, and following disciplines properly. One has to really, one can make efforts to practice at least some certain religious practices. Very important. If you are not able to follow, that's okay, that's a different thing. If possible, if you can follow, it's always better to practice some religious disciplines such as fasting, etc. carefully. Why? Because the vratams are all for antahkarna shuddhi. Why we should follow those disciplines? For antahkarna shuddhi and antahkarna naischalyam. For mental purity and mental sinness, is very important to follow certain disciplines. Understand? Second thing, why do we go into Ganga, etc., or again religious certain practices? Going to the temple, going for a pilgrimage. Can we say it is useless? It is very, very important for ordinary mind to grow, understand, and to manage the day-to-day problems in life, to neutralize one's desires, to neutralize one's problems in life, to have the strength to pull on. How much difficulties come in life, still we manage to, we don't lose the heart until the jnanam takes place. Understand? We have to manage to hold on to this without losing. That is why nothing should shake you. That's why faith in Bhagavan, faith in knowledge, and belief in Bhagavan, worship and prayer and religious practices really help one to keep going. They are very, very important. But they will not free you from bondage. We should know the limitations. And here, especially I tell you, all the Hindus worldwide, especially in India, and we believe Ganga is a very holy river. Not simply belief, because traditionally Ganga is a symbol. It's symbolic. A symbol of what? It stands for the eternal flow of Vedic wisdom. Kala varaira illamal todarndu perigi poi vandu konde irikkira shastra jnanate kurikkindra adayalam. Understand? Stands for the Vedic wisdom, Vedic knowledge. And how? Because right from, timelessly, beginninglessly, endlessly, the knowledge of Vedas has been flowing down, being handed over from one person to the other person, from one teacher to the other teacher, through Guru Parampara, through Karna Parampara, through the listening, system of listening, this knowledge has been being handed over, going from one person to another person, and till today it is there. Till we have many teachers teaching Shastram and all that. So this Vedic wisdom has been always preserved, has not become extinct. Many disciplines have become extinct in India, but this wisdom has been flowing down. Understand? Like that, therefore, the river, the Ganga also, if you see, nobody knows exactly where Ganga begins. Understand? Rishi Moolam, Nadi Moolam, Ket Kade, we always say. Why? Because you cannot know where exactly the river begins. You can go and find a beginning point of the river, but again you have to say from where all that point begin. The river water comes to that point, nobody knows. Understand? That is why Nadi Moolam, you cannot find the origin of river. Similarly, you cannot find the origin of the beginning of the Vedic wisdom. Again, is Bhagavan, we say, right from Sadashiva Samarambham, we say, Jakshad, from Bhagavan, the knowledge is flowing, means what? From reality is a source of knowledge. Reality is eternal. Therefore, we say, timelessly, okay, from time immemorial, the knowledge has been coming down. It's likened to Vedic wisdom. Therefore, Ganga, this Ganga is a symbol which stands for this eternal flow of Vedic wisdom. And what are you supposed to do? We go to the Ganga and have three dips. The first dip stands for listening to the teacher regularly, systematically for a length of time, which is called Shravanam. Listening to the subject matter of the Shastram from the teacher is called a Shravanam. And that is what the first dip in Ganga means what? If we come out, we have done this Shravanam. Finished. My God, look at this. Regular, systematic, listening for length of time is called what? Shravanam. First dip stands for Shravanam. Ganga is Vedic wisdom. And listening to the subject matter of the Veda, understand? From the teacher is called Shravanam. And having heard from the teacher regularly, systematically for a length of time, you have understood subject matter of the Shastram, but still lot of doubts and confusions will be there, which Pratibandhas will be there, because of our own limitations of the mind and the grossness of mind, etc. therefore, and constantly, repeatedly listening. Look at this. Repeatedly listening to what has been heard earlier. And thereby reflecting on what has been heard earlier and retained and understood. And thereby, once you reflect on what has been heard earlier and retained, and you can resolve all the doubts you have. That is why we don't question in between. The Shastra, in traditional teaching, no student is allowed to question the teacher in between. When the teacher is talking, you have to just keep on listening. In the traditional, this is entirely different from the Western way of, you know, learning and education. You should not open it, okay? Here the student is not allowed to, it's against dharma, okay? You should not allow, you're not allowed to talk anything in between. The teacher has to come, student should be ready to listen to all focus attention. Kannu, kaalu, mooku, all the senses are here. Now attention is taken away, okay? The student has to be listening. Listening and listening and listening and listening, no questioning. No doubt comes. Keep the doubt aside. Doubt will be there. The doubt may be there. Not that you should not ask, because the doubt will be taken care of. The doubt will resolve by itself in continuous, regular listening. And the doubt will be kept aside. Because any interruption is a problem. Is not right. So you have to keep the doubt aside. You keep on listening. That is a traditional teaching means. That is how the children should be. Come to the class, listen to the teacher. Any doubt you have, keep it aside. There will be a time you will be allowed to ask the question. And keep aside. Keep on listening. And you see, as you are listening, the doubts will go also. So, listening to the teacher, okay, and I'm trying to understand what the teacher is saying, and having understood, retaining what has been understood through regular, systematic listening is called what? For length of time is Shravanam. The Shravanam, the first dip symbolizes the Shravanam. Then having heard for long, so long, understood the subject matter of the Shastram very well, but still lots of doubts are there, means what? What should you do to remove the doubts? Re-listen. Okay? Re-listening to what has been heard, or understand, if the teacher is not available to re-listen to what has been heard, and you yourself try to recollect and bring back, what all you have heard and retained. If you have not heard, you have not understood, you cannot retain what has been heard and understood, then you cannot recollect. Okay? So recollect and reflect on. Recollect and reflect on what has been heard, understood and retained again and again. In recollecting and reflecting on what has been heard and understood, if you yourself do it patiently, then you can see slowly the doubts you have will resolve. Okay? Thirumba thirumba kettu purindu kondadai meendum meendum ninaithu paark enni paarpadil sandehangal marayunna. That is called mananam. Mananam sonnale repetition artham. Mananam means what? Repeating. Mentally repeating means what? How can I repeat mentally? Not the mantra to repeat it. So, just recollecting and reflecting on. You understood, you have retained. So, recollect it and reflect on what has been heard, understood, retained. Then you can see in constant reflection on what has been heard, understood will help you resolve the doubts you have. It's called mananam. So, that mananam, the second dip stands for mananam. Second dip padittingna mananam mudinjiruchu, evlo easy. Now you have to study for years, and then so much of Sanskritam and that and this and karma, lots of atma and atma, nothing. That's what people define, think it is very easy. Now go to Ganga and have a dip, first dip, shravan is over, and second dip, mananam also is over, eh?
You gave us all three dips.
Did you go second time? How many days did you go?
Three dips indeed.
Huh?
No, on the same day we did three dips.
Okay, yeah, one day. One day we earned and we had three dips, okay? See, now we all come back with all soaking in knowledge. Whoever didn't come can go and scratch from Ganga Mahanam and take it. Take some of the tumbler and go. So he said, overflowing knowledge, wisdom. So second dip is what? Mananam. And once you have removed, of course all your doubts are resolved until you have very clear, doubt-free knowledge. Come on, everything that is seen and known are objects. Grass are subtle. Objects are reality, no doubt. All the objects are reality, but they're manifestations. Okay, manifestations of the reality. Any object is manifestation of reality. But what actually is the reality? Underlying reality, okay? That reality is subject. Subject is available, a reality is available for recognition as the subject. And the subject is what? Reality is nothing but this alone. This is the reality. That, okay, how? You have what you have heard, what you have understood, what you have retained, what you have repeatedly recollecting again and again and again, thirumba, dwelling on it, again and again reflecting on it, slowly the doubts will resolve. Understand? Once the doubts are resolved means, and now you know, this is the reality. But even then, the mind cannot always be in the reality. Mind has a problem, okay? That is why the right understanding of the reality has to be ascertained. Telivaga sandehamindri purindu kollapatta parambarulai uridipaduthikkanumna. Ascertain. You have to ascertain that now vision of the reality. You know what though, this is the reality, no doubt. Then, but how, it is no doubt, that means what, still the mind can go back. Because the perceptions are, again the transaction, the world is not avoidable. Still the mind can go back from the reality. That's why the ascertainment is very important. Understand? Even after knowing, ascertainment is important. For which, you try to be contemplative. This is where the meditation comes. People, you know, as if we are not interested in meditation. This is where the meditation comes. And you become meditative. Already, to be meditative, how the mind should be? Mind should be steady. Unsteady mind, disturbed mind, cannot be meditative. That is why we do a lot of practices. Now, which help you to develop your concentration, to help you to be focused and single-pointed. All the techniques which help you to be focused and single-pointed, now, that they are only pre-preparation for meditation. Or you can say meditative techniques also. But really speaking, the meditation, according to Shastram, is contemplation. What is contemplation? No. Constantly dwelling upon the nature of the reality which has been understood clearly now. That is why contemplation is not advised before Shravanam Mananam. Understand? Manadin Gavanate Paramrulil Nilekya Chedradhan contemplation. How can you do if you do not know what is Paramrul, what is reality? That is why always it is. What should be before Nididhyasanam, contemplation is Mananam, and before Mananam, Mananam is possible only if you have done Shravanam. Without Shravanam, without Mananam, Nididhyasanam is impossible. That is why you have to know what is meditation actually, understand? Meditation is constantly dwelling upon or contemplating upon the nature of or the swarupam of the Atma, swarupam of the reality, which one has understood in one's own mind as one's own swarupam. There is no way of meditating upon Parambarul. There is no way of meditating upon Iravan. Otherwise, other than meditating upon the nature of reality, the swarupam of the Atma, okay, which you have understood through Shravanam and Mananam, You made it upon anything else that is not contemplation. That's only a mental activity which also produces some punya phalam. And for ascertained vision of the oneness of reality means contemplation. And the which implies you already your knowledge of the reality. Is it clear now? So that is called Nididhyasanam, which is, that's why the third dip in Ganga stands for Nididhyasanam, contemplation. Contemplating upon the nature of the self, nature of Atma.
You taught us another word, Upasanam. What is that?
Nirguna Upasanam. Nirguna Upasanam also you can say. Nirguna Upasanam is another word for Nididhyasanam. You know, in this context, the three dips, when you talk about three dips, now Nirguna Brahma Upasam I said. I did say that. Because see, listen like this, many different contexts, different types, different ways of putting it, I tell you so many things and you will all, once there will be a day, you will put everything correctly. Understand everything. That is why listening is very important. It's good. So that's the third dip. So Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Look at this. Contemplation. Third dip. Contemplation result in what? A vision. Ascertain vision of oneness of reality. Then you wake, you know, come out of Ganga. My God, you do not see a second reality. All that is there is only Brahman. Okay? Then you're free. What happened? All your diseases got washed off. All your punyapapas got washed off. You're clean. Okay? You're free. Understand? You're free from bondage. You come out free. That's what is Ganga. Understand? That is significance of why Ganga is holy for us, no other river. Because Ganga alone is likened to Vedic wisdom. Eternal flow of Vedic wisdom. And three dips stand for Shravanam, Mananam and Nididhyasanam. Three steps involving in self-knowledge. Involved in self-knowledge. Three steps involved in self-knowledge. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. If we understand this and we do the right thing, okay, this is what is Ganga. When you go to Ganga, we can have the fun of having three dips or five dips also in Ganga, no problem. But we should know the real significance. We should do the right thing of listening to this teacher, understanding Shastram, and always trying to recollect and then reflect on what has been heard. Mananam, not that we should do only after listening, okay. Once you have listened to certain texts, you have some understanding also, you can have mananam. For some time, shravanam, and after some time, shravanam plus mananam, okay, together it will go for some time. That is why nidhyasanam, you don't need to worry about nidhyasanam. Once they can't come, continuously listening will take you to what? Meditation. That's why we always say, we don't teach actually meditation, really speaking. You will see, you'll be in meditation, in the class itself. That is what I'm assuring all, I've been telling them also. You'll be in meditation. No, the mind has to understand, that's all. Just Ganga, understand? That is why we never say, going to Ganga is wrong or bad or unwanted or useless. It is useful, but if you do it as it's only a karma. Simply going to Ganga and then having dip in Ganga, or going to the ocean and having the Samudra Snanam, having bathing in ocean and all holy rivers, or Teerthatanam, going for pilgrimage and worshipping, following these disciplines, religious practices, and being given to practice of these vratams, etc. These things are karmas. Even dhanam, charity, anything is karma. This karma produces punya phalam. But until and unless you have jnanam, jnana vihinaha, muktim na bhajati, never does he attain moksha. He continues to be bound in hundreds of janmas also. That's why better know the reality. Govindam bhaja. Understand? Okay, go next shloka. Okay, now. Oh my God, it's going to be 9. 9 8, yeah?
10 to 9.
Okay, my God. How fast the time goes. I know, 4 verse kuda pannalaya. The first day always takes time.
Suramandirataru Moolanivasah Suramandirataru Moolanivasah Shaya Bhutalam Majinam Vasah
Shaya Bhutalam Majinam Vasah
Sarva Parigraha Bhogatyagah
Sarva Parigraha
Bhogatyagah Kasya Sukham Nakaroti Viragah Kasya Sukham Nakaroti Viragah.
See, this verse again has to be very carefully explained. This verse talks about the greatness of being dispassionate. The importance of being dispassionate. Okay, viragaha means dispassion. So, dispassion does not mean absence of desires. Does not mean, okay, simply desirelessness. So, dispassion here actually means, you know, the dispassion implies maturity. Not simply being desireless. Dispassion is now a degree of desirelessness, that's all you can say. Viragaha means dispassion, means lack of, you can say, attachment, or you can say maturity. Dispassion implies maturity. Maturity means what? Having grown out of desires for things. Having grown out of desire for things means what? No? Having understood the limitations of things. No? What do you mean by understanding, having understood the limitations of everything in life? Because whatever is there, this cannot give me what I really seek in life. Look at this. That's all. Which implies one should know very clearly what is that which ultimately I seek in life. Mudivaha naan virumbuvadhu edhai. Now what is it which I am seeking in life? I know I need artha, I know I need kama, I need pleasures in life. Okay, I know I need infrastructure to live this life. I know I need to live a life of dharma. But what is that I really seek through all of them is now happiness. Moksha. What is it I seek is now I want to be peaceful and happy. That's what I'm seeking through all of them. If I'm peaceful and happy, whether other things are not or there or not, doesn't matter. But if even if they are all there, if I'm not happy and peaceful, I'm seeking it. That's what I'm seeking ultimately. But that Shastra makes it very clear that happiness or peace, everlasting joy or peace, which I am seeking choicelessly, okay, inevitably, that is only in knowledge means. Knowledge of the reality. Is all this slogging is because of this ignorance. If you understand these facts, see, until you are exposed to the Shastra study, you may not understand the problems also. Understanding the problem itself is the first, you know, big thing, achievement. And afterwards, you think of solving the problem. Many of us do not know the problem being there. Understand? And without knowing the problem, and you also think of solving the problem. It's another foolish thing. That is why know the problem first, then you find the proper solution for solving the problem. Then the problem will be solved. Understand? We do not know we have the problem, and we do not know what is the solution for solving the problem. Definitely we cannot know. Without knowing the problem being there, without knowing the solution for the problem also, the problem will never be solved. Will never be solved. It will always be there. That is why here, it is very important for one to know No, the viragaha, if you are mature, means what? The dispassion, if one has dispassion, means that is one is dispassionate, means that's a big achievement. Being dispassionate, having dispassion implies so many things. What is that? One is very clear about one's ultimate end being, choiceless, and that is moksha, that is happiness. And that happiness is not available as a karma phalam, because what I'm seeking is the eternal happiness, not the time-bound pleasure. That is only in, as I told you in the very beginning of the class, that happiness is only in knowing the reality. Knowing the reality itself is what? Knowing what happiness is. Knowing is attaining. Therefore, it is the knowledge which distances me from happiness that I am seeking. Really speaking, happiness is not something to be attained also, which is already there. What is the distance now? I told you many times in the class. The happiness is very you. In fact, you cannot even become happy. Happiness is you. When you say you, means what? Very truth of the mind. The truth of every wave is H2O. We can say, okay, I can look at one wave, can look at another wave. It can say, come on, H2O. No, understand? You can say, it doesn't need to say, you have H2O. Okay? You are H2O. You have also is not there. You means what? Which is the you there? There's no you or there's no I. The truth of every mind is fullness. In fact, every mind has its existence in the very fullness, which is the limitlessness, which is the reality, the sorupam. Understand? Similarly, every mind exists in reality, the sorupam of which is fullness. That is why every mind is what? In fact, already fullness. Nereve, ovvoru manamum, okay, nereve. But what is his mind searching for? Nereve. Why is it searching? Then there's no distance between happiness and mind. Why there's an unwanted, unnecessary thing called searching and slogging for it? Ignorance. Idaivali ennanna. Okay, ariyamaya idaivali na. Nerevukku unakku un nerevali ennani ariyamaina. Okay, the distance between you and fullness is the ignorance. Therefore, all that you need is the ignorance alone has to be dispelled. All that you want is knowledge. Other than jnanam, nothing else will free you from the bondage. Nothing else will free you from these problems. Therefore, govindam bhaja. Once you know this, knowledge is the means. Knowledge is the solution. Then naturally, you will say, what I want can be gained only as a result of knowledge. Understand? Not as a result of karma. It is very clear. Then you will naturally, you will grow out of desire for everything. Nothing artha kama dharma, other than knowledge, no other pursuit will help me accomplish what I seek in life. If this is very clear, you will grow out of, you will know, it's what I'm not saying, you don't look down upon artha kama dharma, but you understand the limitation of artha kama dharma. Understand? Understanding limitations of artha kama dharma, knowing the value of knowledge, that artha kama dharma cannot give you what you seek in life ultimately. Knowledge alone can give you what you seek in life then this is what, then you grow out of desire for artha kama dharma, knowing their limitations. And when you then you have passion for knowledge, naturally you have dispassion for towards other things. This is what is maturity, understand, born of understanding the limitations of artha kama dharma and the value of knowledge, that what can give you what you seek, what cannot give you what you seek in life. This is what is viragaha. Understand? This viragaha once you have. Understand? Once you vairagyam you have, then what will you be? How will you be? You will be focused. Why we are distracted now? Why we are not able to be focused? Because we are not dispassionate enough. still somewhere some passions are there for so many things. Still our, no, we are not, even though we know the value of Arjuna, all that, whenever we come and listen to Vedanta class, we have some, okay, we know. Again, we become the same. Why? Because still there is a lingering value for other things. I don't say you should not undervalue things. See, undervaluing things is wrong. But we also overvalue things. We should not undervalue, or undervaluing also is useless. It's wrong. Very, very wrong. We need money. We need, we shouldn't say that, I don't want this, I don't need this, it's useless. I tell you, not, we never, we should never use the word useless. That is useless, that is useless. Be very careful in saying, using the word useless. Everything in this life is useful, but you should know the limitation of it. What it can do, what it cannot give. When I do not have headache, I don't care for the headache medicine tablet, okay, even if you want to give me. I may not care, but when I have headache, by God, I should search for it, look for it. And as I said, everything is useful, but everything has its own limitation. This is what is, discover, that's why, discover the end, then have passion for knowledge. Naturally, you have dispassion towards everything else. That means, which, now you become focused. Don't need to make any efforts. You'll be automatically focused. Dispassion is there, you are focused. The dispassionate mind alone can be contemplative. I tell you, okay, the dispassionate mind alone can be contemplative. The mind which still has passion for so many things cannot be focused, cannot be contemplative. This is bitter truth, okay? People may not like to say all these things, but Shastram says, Shankara says here, that is why, and once you're focused, you meditate, you contemplative means naturally you are normal. Then the contemplative minded, I tell you, can live in any situation. That's why he says, Suram, in India, but not in this country. Don't ask me to go and stay under the tree, okay? In Shiva, freezing cold, I'll ask Mama to, Mama, please put sit on the radiator, I'll ask here. In India, it's all in India, okay? That is why always we have to see the teaching in the corner, which, where it is said. If you come to London and ask me in winter, December and January to go and sit under the tree, Swami, you said that any situation you can stay, you contemplate, you come and go and sit under the tree means what? I will freeze the next day, okay? No contemplation is possible. That's why we have to be very careful in teaching all these verses. Suramandira taru moolanivasah. Mandira taru moolanivasah. So here, Sura mandira taru taru moolanivasah. Living, okay, residing in the tree, foot of a tree. Moola nivasah. Taru moola, taruhu means tree. Taru moola means what? Foot of the tree. Understand? Residing at the foot of the tree, okay, near the temple. And not near the temple, anywhere also, literally speaking. But here, simply, for example, just the, to coin the words, he has put that. Sura mandira, okay, tarumula nivasaha. Then shayya bhutalam. And what is the bed? And okay, live under the foot of the tree. And how do you sleep there? How do you lie down there? What's the bed? Bhutalam. Just the floor, bare, no, floor is what? Your shayya bed. Shayya means bed. Shaya bhutalam and ajinam vasaha. What is the clothing you have? Not any big clothing. Ajinam means actually deer skin. It talks about some situation, okay? You don't need to seriously take it. Ajinam vasaha. That must be okay in any cold weather. Maybe leather must be okay. But here, ajinam means deer skin. Ajinam vasaha. Vasaha means the clothing, okay? And having the clothing of, you know, yes, this deer skin, and using the very bare floor as the bed, living at the foot of the tree, the temple, and sarva parigraha bhoga tyagaha, okay? And one who is free from, one who is free from any possession, no real possession, parigraha. Boga, free from all, enjoyments of pleasures. no possession of possessions. One who is without any possessions or and also all enjoyments of pleasures, etc. And such a person is totally dispassionate. Understand? Why? Not that one should give up all the those things. The giving up of the one can live under it, under at the foot of a tree, just wearing a deer skin, not having anything else, not owning anything, one can be if one is dispassionate. It can be translated wrongly also. If one gives up all these things, one can become dispassionate. No. Very, very careful. If a person is dispassionate, really dispassionate, then one can live like this. If you're focused, it is possible. Under the foot of a tree, wearing some clothing, I don't say ajinam also, some clothing, simple clothing, at the foot of a tree, just on the floor, no possession, no bank balance, no bank account, nothing, no possessions, and also nothing. That is possible if a person is dispassionate. Suppose last time, when I had to go to the UK embassy for the visa, really speaking, I never had personal bank accounts. Will he give me the visa? He won't give a visa. I had really gone create my account. I opened my bank account before I came to this country. Till then, I never had bank accounts. Promise. Satyam. I was sent back. Come on, go. You don't have anything. Then go back. I said, come on. I have food. I have shelter. I have people. A lot of people. Home people have been teaching. I have such a whole Coimbatore can come on. No guarantee that they'll get back from this country. They all want me back in Coimbatore. Really speaking, I never had. Really, promise. Hamji said, Amma, namma konnu vanda ma. Idha matavaga pannanum. Poi woku poppum account open panna. He said, really, it happened 5 years ago. Now what I'm saying, to transact in this world, we had to really do all these things. It's funny, what is this? No, from prarabdha, okay? Prarabdha kali nasrikkale, then we did all this. But why I'm saying here, people mistake when you teach all these things, no? Sometimes we be very careful. People come and ask, that means then you are not dispassionate. They mistake, and then people think, if you are not like this, you are not dispassionate. That's also wrong. It is not only if a person goes and lives at the foot of a hill, foot of a mountain, some tree. No, one who sleeps on the floor and without anything, no possession, nothing, lives a beggarly life, then he is dispassionate. That means all those people who are sitting and begging in the temples, they'll all be dispassionate people. All the beggars in India, and not all over the world, anywhere in the beggars, will all be dispassionate people who don't have anything. No bank account, nothing, no possession, no pleasures. Understand? They're all dispassionate people or what? No. That's why we have to be very careful. Whether people have or not, understand? The dispassion we have to understand. This shloka does not say, people always say wrong things. This shloka does not say one should not possess anything to become dispassionate. The dispassionate person can be okay without any possession. That's what we have to understand. Very important. Understand? So dispassionate is the one who has purushartha nischaya. One knows the value of knowledge. One who knows what he wants in life, and knowledge alone can give what he seeks in life. No artha, kama, dharma pursuits are important, but they cannot give him what he ultimately seeks in life. Even if he pursues artha, kama, dharma, that he knows the limitations of them, thereby he would have grown out of desire for artha, kama, dharma, at one stage. Thereby one who becomes totally committed to the pursuit of knowledge, knowing the value of knowledge, okay, will become dispassionate towards other things, knowing their limitations. He is mature, has grown out of desire for artha kama dharma, knowing their limitations. Adha veruthavan alla, and aasaiyil neenga petravan. Porulai verukkana vendaan nu solradhu, vendaan nanikiradilla, podum nanikiradhu. Understand, that's very important. One who's gone out of desire for those things, and all that now hereafter, what I want is knowledge. Such a dispassionate person alone can be meditative, can be focused. And such a person, naturally, once he is focused and meditative, contemplative, definitely it will result in what? A vision of oneness of reality. And definitely, so he says, viragaha kasya sukham na dadati. No, this dispassion definitely results in, this total dispassion definitely will result in limitless joy. There's no doubt. That is, no, that is, that's presented in the form of a question, it's objection. Now, kasya, for whom does this dispassion not give happiness? Definitely, dispassion results in happiness. Okay, vairagyam nischayamaha oruvarku nilayana sukhathai kodukum. Dispassion definitely results in everlasting happiness. That means you should understand what is being dispassionate, how one can be dispassionate. These things you should remember. Is it clear?
Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Govindam Bhaja Mudamate, Samprapte Sannihite Kale, Nahi Nahi Rakshati Dukrinkarane. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Harihi Om Tat Sat. Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Harihi Om.